time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the K-Band Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. What's going on, everybody? It's a weekly show, and thanks for popping in. We appreciate it. We have one guest today. It's going to be Windham, New Hampshire native and Pinkerton former standout and current North Shore Navigators pitcher who wrapped up his season, Cole Yanako. And he is a great interview because he's got two positions he plays, and they're very unique. No one really doubles up in college and plays these two positions, and you'll find out why. And by the way, he goes to Merrimack in our very own North Andover right here on the Merrimack Valley. So Cole Yanako after the break.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, folks, Dom Nicastro here, host of the North Shore Sports Desk and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Listen up. This one's going to be special. Another sports world gathering you need to be at, bringing together the two absolute Boston legends for one morning only. Kevin Millar, we all remember him, 2004 World Series champ, fan favorite, the heartbeat of that Cowboy Up team, and his pal, right, quotes, pal, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe icon who's been telling the story of the city's sports teams for decades. Dan of the Boston Globe, Kevin Millar, former MLB player and Red Sox great. Now, we know those two, why they're connected, right? Remember that before game four of the ALCS in 04? Millar telling Shaughnessy, hey, win tonight. We got PD tomorrow, Schilling game six, and who knows what happens in game seven, right? And Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe writer, called him a pack of frauds. So Millar was basically calling him out on that famous moment. You know they'll be talking about that. But they'll be both live and in person at Sports World in Saugus on Saturday, August 16th. You heard it. Saturday, August 16th, 10 a.m. to noon. Sports World is reporting. It's very limited. Call them. That's the best thing to do. Call Sports World. See what's exactly going on, how you can get involved. 781-233-7222. Again, that's 781-233-7222. It's basically first come, first serve. If you want more information, give them a call. They'll take care of you. Phil Castagnetti and the gang down there are great. So if you're a diehard Sox fan, student of the game, or just someone who grew up yelling at Shaughnessy columns over coffee, I remember doing that in Dunkin' Donuts outside of Salem State. I was more of a Herald guy, but oh no, I grabbed the Globe many times too. Saturday, August 16th, 10 a.m. sharp. Get there early. Give these guys a great North Shore welcome. All right, the Sports Desk, we're back at it with our latest Navigators interview, North Shore Navigators, that is Cole Yanako. What's going on, Cole?
Not much. Just keeping busy, getting the transition going from the Navs to, you know, back to training and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. So Windham, New Hampshire's own North Shore Navigator and Merrimack College. So very busy with baseball starting what in like January all the way through now, pretty much basically a major league season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big difference between college and major leagues is you don't really stop that much. You know, I mean, everybody's always trying to claim their spot, I guess, come spring, right? So training in the summer and then fall ball and training in the winter. It never really stops.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to say, look at the stats alone. I mean, your Merrimack season was very, very solid. You got plenty of action for them. This was your sophomore year, 3.19 ERA. And just solid all around. I mean, the strikeouts to walk ratio was good. More strikeouts than walks, that's always good. Yeah. You got 31 innings total for Merrimack. And, you know, the team had a losing record, but you seem to be, you know, pretty darn consistent in your role pitching. What do you think was successful for you this year? Like, what was the theme? Why were you so consistent?
You know, yeah, it was a good season. I would say it was a learning season, put it that way, right? Especially for Merrimack. Just everybody trying to fall into their role and figure out, you know, the old Belichick saying, do your job type of thing. And I do hope that carries over to next year and shows a little bit more success on paper. But that being said, I do think it was a good season. You do have those type of seasons where the team grows. It might not reflect in the win column, but it definitely is one like that. And I think long term, that's good because that's what builds consistency within a program. For me personally, I think I just went out there and did try to adopt that role of like, all right, let's just do my job, right? You know, coach wants me to do this today. That's what I'm going to do. That's my goal. I'm not going to try to do too much. Just going to try to meet that expectation, right? So an example of that is for the first, actually majority of the season, I was coming in relief, right? So my goal there is like, all right, just get these guys out. That's all you got to do. Yeah. However it happens, do that, right? You don't have to worry about going multiple innings. Go out there, give everything you got and try to get these guys out. And I think thinking simple like that, especially in a game where, you know, your mental judgment and stuff like that can, you know, get you all out of whack if you're overthinking things.
Yeah.
Definitely plays a role. I've noticed that with guys just across the board. Think less and you perform better. And I think I tried to adopt that mentality as much as I could.
Yeah. So, and at the end of the day, did that role shift at all? Or did you 100% came out of the pen all year?
No, it was, it did shift over the season. So I started off just being out of the pen. And then about three quarters of the way through the season, don't quote me on that, but about three quarters of the way through the season, it ended up being more of a long relief role just because you know how seasons go. Guys get hurt. Some guys don't perform as expected. And you got to make adjustments and just roll with it. So we ended up having me go more like three innings rather than one towards the back half of games. And you know, I enjoyed it. Obviously, I love being out there. So it was fun. And at the same time, it gave other guys some opportunities to close. Like if I came in and threw 6, 7, 8, now another guy gets the shot to close it. And I was happy for guys that did that and did it well.
Yeah.
I did have, I think it was just one start against Fairfield. And that's really what took my ERA up to a 3.2. I think I only went three innings or so. And it was not a great performance on my part. My guys in the field did everything they could to try to help me out, but I was just letting up barrels left and right. And, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes hitters hit. That's the saying I try to live by, you know, like you could have good stuff and they could have better stuff. It's just the way it goes. And Fairfield, as we saw, was legit. They went on and did pretty well. So good for those guys. I'm friends with some of them, but yeah, that's kind of the story of the season right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a quarter of the team's wins were, you know, Cole Yanako saves. You got four saves in there, led the team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love save situations. I take it as a challenge. And I think that's what most guys on the team do. You know, I think if you try to go in with the mindset of like, all right, this is fun, you know, like it's a little bit of a challenge. Got to help the team out here. Try to get our guys some ground balls so they can make plays and do that type of thing. You know, it's definitely an enjoyable feeling.
Yeah. And by default, like to get a save, it has to be a tense game, right? It's going to be three or less. Sometimes it's one run lead. What was the most tense situation? I mean, did you come in and like, all right, they're loaded and I got to get one out? Or like, what do you remember one of the more tense moments getting a save?
You know, I don't know about this year, but I will speak on my first time pitching for Merrimack, because I did go in as a catcher. Yeah. So I went in there as a catcher, and I'll go back this fall and catch. But we just had a couple guys that were legit. You know, we had Chattel, who played for the Navigators. He ended up going to Rutgers. And another player, Frankie Ferentino, who's good. And so I didn't really have a role catching my freshman year. So I told the coach, Coach Murphy, I was like, hey, you know, I can pitch a little bit. You know, I just want to help the team out however I can. And he's like, all right, you know, threw a bullpen, threw a couple lives. And then I finally got a opportunity towards the end of the season against Stonehill. And when I came in, that was late game relief. I think it was either the 8th or the 9th. And came in, bases loaded, one out. So I'd say that's probably the most tense situation, just because, A, it's your first time going out there in a college setting. Yeah. And the situation, bases loaded, one out, it's not, you know, super, super easy. So, yeah. And I worked my way out of it. I had some good help from guys in the field. And, you know, that's kind of what kickstarted everything.
Yeah. And that was that was one of two appearances, right? As a freshman on the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ended up with five innings, 1.69 ERA and strikeouts, two walks, only one hit. I mean, so, you know, here you are. I mean, I should have led with this. I should have known this in my research that you went from catch to pitching. Are you going back to catching at all? Like, have you literally got any innings behind the plate for Merrimack?
Yeah, I've got a couple, but not like everyday weekend guy type thing. Right. More just to keep me in the loop so that when my time comes, and hopefully that's this year, I'm still, you know, in the same catching mindset, because it is a mindset. It's of all the positions on the field, it's definitely a mindset you got to be in, because you got to be a leader. You know, you're the leader on the field at all times. You got to perform at your best at all times, because the second you let a pass ball go by, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, you always want to work your hardest to steal pitches and try to help your pitcher out as much as you can. I do think hopefully this year is the year. That's my plan, at least. I'm kind of switching gears now from pitching over at the Navs and with Merrimack to spend my time here training, hitting and catching and all that type of stuff. So come fall, we'll see. But yeah.
Yeah. And how was the Nav split between pitching and catching? Was it one or the other, or kind of mixing both this summer?
Yeah. So I think just with the fact that I didn't get any college innings, I mean, I've had a couple, you know, I caught one game this year, went in here and there, that type of stuff. But with the Navs, it was pretty much just like, all right, hey, you're going to come here and pitch. And I was fine with that. You know, obviously being a pitcher from the day to day is a lot less taxing on your body. So that was good just for me to be able to structure in some lifting and work on stuff in that aspect and really just fine tune pitching, because with the Navs, competition level is legit. I mean, I would say most people think that the NECBL just level of play is probably a little bit better than the MAC. And no hate to the MAC at all. It's a great conference. Love being in it, but it's hard. NECBL is really good competition. A lot of guys end up going on to get drafted or go play in the Cape or whatever that might be. My role with them was purely pitching. Towards the end of the season, we only had two catchers. So, you could tell those guys they've had tons of innings, you know, starting to feel it 2 months in.
Yeah.
So I said to them, I'm like, yo guys, like, with your permission, of course, like, I don't want to steal innings from you. I know this is your thing, but I can offer to catch some innings if you want, just to give you guys a day off here and there. So I went up, I talked to coach, and he was like, yeah, you know, we only got so many games left, but maybe. And then it ended up being that I hit BP once or twice just to start to get back into the groove of hitting. But no in-game stuff on that aspect, just purely pitching.
Yeah. So 100% pitching, finished 2-4, 7.66 ERA. So yeah, like you said, that I mean, this is night in and night out. The New England College Baseball League, tough competition. I mean, you're getting D1 players like yourself all over the place. D2 and solid D3 players even mixed in. So this seems like there's just never a night off and never a batter off, like 1-9.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I noticed that. Like if you go and pitch in, I don't know, say the MAC, for example, which is what Merrimack's in, or the NEC, which is Stonehill and some other local schools. You go pitch there and 1-5 is like, all right, I got to have my best stuff. In 6-9 is good, but you can kind of let off the gas pedal a little bit. Like if you leave a pitch middle, it's probably not going to be sent 400 feet. Yeah. Whereas with the Navs, any CBL, if you make one little error, it costs you. And we saw that with Keen.
Yeah.
I went out there and I had a start. I think I let up 5-5 innings or 5-4 1/3, something like that. But really all it was is, you know, obviously it's a short porch, whatever. You got to pitch to that though. And I just didn't do a good job pitching to that. Right. There's certain batters. I let up 2 home runs, I believe. And both of them were changeups, supposed to be low and away, and they were only low, right? So just that little difference there allows a lefty to get his bat on it, stay back just long enough, and get that thing up in the air.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, I don't see that happening as much in school ball. You know, like some of these guys are going to Dayton and Vandy or wherever.
Yeah.
So they're used to seeing A, guys throw harder than I am, and B, guys hit their spots a little bit better. So if I don't do that, then it costs you.
Yeah. You came back pretty good though. 6 days later, another loss on the books, but a solid outing. I mean, 7 innings against North Adams. This was last week, 4 runs, only 2 earned, and you know, a couple of strikeouts there. So what changed for you? How did you get better there game to game?
Honestly, I didn't do much different physically. I think it was just the mental approach of like, all right, this is my last outing of the year. Screw it. I'm going balls to the walls, just doing what I can to get guys out. Yeah. And I think that gave me just a little bit more edge, a little bit more confidence going into it. And I did make some adjustments. Like, I guess I did make some physical adjustments. You know, the changeup was a little bit better.
Yeah.
So getting a lot of guys out on that. But one of the things summer ball is great for, and I've talked to multiple people at length about this, but like, it's good for trying stuff out, you know, like the end goal is like, all right, we need to use this to get better. And I think a lot of guys do have that mindset. Obviously you want to win, but, it definitely is to try to get better. So like one of the things I did versus North Adams is threw a ton of right on right changeups that I really haven't done before. I've gone strictly to lefties. And it worked. You know, I got that in on some guys, got some foul balls, got some ground balls. I even broke a bat on a changeup, if you can believe that. But
that is hard to see. You know, how the heck does that work?
It's more about where the ball hits the bat than velocity. Yeah. So if you hit a guy with a 78 mile an hour changeup and it gets him down by the hands, it's going to break.
Right.
You know?
So the Navs finished up just shy of a playoff berth, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Is this year 1 or 2 for you in the Navs?
Year one.
All right. So talk about that experience. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of cool. It's like you're a little celebrity in on the North Shore, right? And in Lynn, like Fraser Field, the kids come out and watch you guys. It's a good environment for a summer night. It's a quick, cheap take with a lovely ballpark, nostalgic, a lot of stuff going on there. So tell me about that. Just being in that environment, it must have been pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think from day one, showing up, seeing the field, seeing Fraser, and just being like, wow, this place is historic. This is cool. Right. It's historic. And it also has brand new turf. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect. And there's also the part of it where everybody's there to have fun, right? And I think that's definitely a culture shift between most people's school ball and summer ball. is, and it's talked about amongst players all the time, but like, you know, everybody has a common goal with school ball. It's like, all right, we need to win as many games as possible. We want to go as far as possible. We're going to grind for it. And not that summer ball isn't all of that, but just for whatever reason, it's a little bit more laid back. And it's super, super fun. You know, I think my favorite part wasn't even playing. It was hanging out with the guys in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we ended up bringing tents and having chairs down there and just sitting, hanging out. And it was fun. I mean, it was maybe the most fun I've had playing baseball. Great experience. All of our coaches were awesome. They were super understanding with everything. You know, like if they understand it's summer ball, right? If I threw on a Tuesday and they asked me on a Thursday how I'm feeling, I say, not great. It's not a, all right, we're going to shove you down the lineup for 3 weeks. It's all right. You can throw tomorrow then, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of just fun to be a part of. I think, you know, like having the mindset of like, all right, we're trying to win these games, but also we're trying to have a bunch of fun and get better is fun to be around.
Yeah. And then, that bullpen, give me an example of something you guys have fun with. Is there a tradition or a song or like you play,
I mean,
warm-ups, like what,
you know? There's a lot of stuff. Some I can speak on, some I can't, but you know, like towards the end of the season, one of the things we did was I grabbed my putter from my car and grabbed a golf ball and we played like mini golf, just between messing around.
Yeah.
Between innings, we, you know, pick a spot and everybody takes turns playing mini golf. One of the guys, Pierce, who ended up going and pitching in the Cape, he did really, really well the other day.
Is that the Swamp Scott man?
Yeah. He did phenomenal the other day. So I'm really happy for him. He's a good dude.
Oh, in the Cape, he did well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He started on him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He started and pitched 7 shutty. I don't know. It was something like that, but it was legit. But like he brought his speaker and I brought one of those pop-up tents.
Yeah.
And we would just hang out, have like people, some of the guys bring beach chairs, just hang out down there. And, you know, I think more so than messing around with like a putter and doing that type of stuff was just talking with guys. And, you know, we had a lot of kids from the South. So learning the different culture down there and talking to them or, it was just cool. Cool meeting new people and hanging out with them, you know, pretty much every day for 5 hours was fun.
Yeah. It's unlike any other like position in any sport where, I mean, sometimes granted you get the call and it's in a blowout either side, you're blowing out their team, they're blowing out you. You guys just want to eat outs and get out of there. Most of the time though, it's in a tense situation. You know, your relievers are coming into something where your team is asking you, hey, we need outs and we need them now. Cause this game's this inning's getting out of hand. This game's getting out of hand. They're coming back. We're going to try to get a save. It's such a great balance of goofball mentality for like 90% of your day. And then 10%, you got to be laser focused.
Yeah.
Like,
I think keeping it light like that is what allows guys to perform so well.
Yeah.
Right? Like I could be sitting here at 4:05, just talking with 3 different dudes about whatever, and 4:15 rolls around and I'm on the bump ready to go.
Yeah.
Loaded. But like, I do think a big thing in baseball is the mental game. And when guys overthink before they even go in, you know, it sets you up for failure. So keeping it light and having fun and focusing when you need to focus allows you to, you know, be light, not overthink stuff, go in the game with a simple mentality of getting outs rather than spending 30 minutes warming up, trying to do dry work, figure out, all right, well, my arm slot's here, not here. I got to figure this. No, you're going in the game. Just shove, right? College players, we're in the NECBL, here for a reason. Trust it. Have fun. Go play.
Yeah. Yeah. The less thinking, the better in baseball. I mean, I coach Little League and I never wanted to remind the pitcher how much pressure is on that position.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like everything's on your arm, son. Like when he's 11-year-old, you know, if he was in trouble, I would go out and bring everybody in and talk like a group, you know, all right, what's the situation? We got 1 hour, everything. All right. You all set? Like to the pitcher, like that's very little, you know,
yeah.
It's just, And yeah, to keep that, I played for Salem State in the late 90s, and we played Duck Duck Goose before the games.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what Duck Duck Goose is.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We play that in the outfield, like in warmups, and just to keep ourselves loose, you know, goofballs. I get it. I totally get it. Well, so the Navs finished up. What's the rest of the summer look like? Fall, you know, when you get back to school, I know you got a fun little adventure going on with dad, right?
Yeah. So, my dad has a travel baseball program. The Northeast Elite Athletics, is the facility name now. We just started a facility here in Derry. But it's growing pretty quick. Got 17 teams now. And I'm just working here. I'm doing a lot of lessons with younger players, trying to help them get better. And more of the managing side of the facility, that type of stuff. But, you know, I'll do that for another month or so. Then I'll go back to school. And Merrimack's not too far. It's probably about 30, 35 minutes. So I'll be back here a lot. But in terms of training, just be kind of switching the side of things to hitting and catching instead of pitching.
Yeah.
Switching that around, switching the weightlifting around, training side of stuff. Going back to school. It'll be strictly catching for the fall. Just see where that lies and hopefully get an opportunity there.
Yeah.
But yeah, fall ball's a grind, so I'm excited for it. It'll be fun.
How did you convince, or did you not convince him yet? It's kind of a work in progress. How do you convince the Merrimack baseball staff to put you at full-time catcher when you went out there and you had a 3.19 ERA?
It was their choice. It was their choice.
All right.
So I don't know why specifically, but what he told me is he's like, yeah, you know, we want to roll with it. We like the way you catch. Obviously, we've had guys in the past that are good and they got their time, but we're thinking, you know, at least for the fall and hopefully the spring that, you know, you should have that opportunity again. Maybe do both.
Yeah.
I'd be open to doing both.
Maybe they're thinking that, you know, let's emphasize the catching, but we know he can throw on the mound.
Well, I think that's the thing is, like, you know, I did pitch this whole year, so they know what I can do.
Yeah.
And for most guys, when you get to the spot I'm at where you've pitched a full season, 30 or so innings, it just gets back to like, all right, let's focus on getting better. I know I can compete at this level. How can I dominate at this level?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they know that I can compete and they want to see if I can compete catching is really what it is. And I genuinely believe I can. And hopefully that shows in the fall.
Yeah. Well, clearly they think there's greater value there, but I'm still looking at your numbers and I'm like under three ERA, you know, for his career so far, two seasons. Opponents only get hits off of you 2 out of 10 times. Right. I don't know, man. It's an argument. That's an argument for sure. Where to put your efforts. But hey, they have a feeling and the midpoint of your career is here and they're shifting towards behind the plate. So,
yeah,
they get a reason for it. It sounds like you're happy doing anything, you know, contributing. But
yeah, I just want to help the team. Honestly. Is your heart
in catching, would you say?
It's in both. Okay. You know, I whatever I'm doing on the field, like I played one game at third because long story, we had a couple guys get suspended or whatever. But I ended up playing a game at third and enjoyed that too. Like I just love the game, love playing wherever I'm at. As long as I can help out the team, I'm content. There has been a little bit of talk of maybe doing both, like I did this year, but maybe a little bit more. Right.
Yeah.
You know, potentially, you know, in an ideal world, it would be pitching one game a week, whether it's in relief or starting, whatever that might be, and catching a game a week. But ultimately, that's up to them. If they want me to catch 2 or 3 games, I'm going to catch 2 or 3 games. So it goes.
So rare. It's so rare. If someone's like listening to this and not kind of know the dynamics of collegiate baseball at your level, the highest level, D1, man, that's not a common thing, catcher and pitcher.
No, it's not. And it's been something to manage for years now because I did it all through high school. Granted, I didn't have to pitch much in high school because we had some good players.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did it with travel ball and just just love being out there as much as I can. So
that'll be something. Mid-game, Merrimack calls on, Cole out of the pen, but he's actually catching at that moment. So he takes off the equipment. And he
we did that this year with when I was at third.
Oh,
so we had our Friday guy starting. I was at third, and then I think he went six or seven. My coach walks out, and we literally just switched. He went to third. I went to
pitch.
To the pitch, yeah.
Yeah, no, that happened to me in a game down at Mass Maritime in the late night.
Yeah.
And Coach Perrone, I'm like, you could have planned a little bit. I didn't even warm up. I mean,
I was spinning curveballs to my shortstop in between innings.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's like the only warmups I got for that relief appearance were the 8 warm-up pitches, and that, wasn't a sufficient warm-up, but things are okay. All right, Cole Yanaka, this has been great. Is there anything I didn't ask you wanted to mention?
No, just thanks for having me on. Yeah. Great season with the Navs. It was super, super fun. Looking forward to coming back. Great fan base. Loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Again, great. Yeah. Great take for the North Shore. And you're a very unique ball player. You offer a lot of value. So, not a lot of players like, what should we do with this guy? like he's good. He's good at two things. He's really good at two things. Where do we put our focus? Well, hey, we'll be watching, Merrimack and hopefully the Navs next year, too. So,
yeah,
we'll stay on top of it. Best of luck, Cole. You and your dad's venture, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Dom. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, that was Cole. Cole, thanks. Thanks to the North Shore Navigators, by the way, facilitating these interviews with Navigators players. We might be done with that, but maybe not. Who knows? But it's great to have them on. And the Navigators are the real deal. A great take in the summer for Fraser Field and Lynn. Cheap, good baseball, New England Collegiate Baseball League, and just great stuff. Great stuff all around. So that's going to do it for us. We are the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Thanks to Moynihan Lumber, one of our big sponsors. And really, we're just looking forward to high school sports coming. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. We're only a few weeks away here. It's August 7th, folks. What is it? 3 weeks until football? 4 weeks? Crazy. So hopefully things cool up a little bit for the kids in those first few games of the season. But that's it. I'm Dominic Castro. We're weekly shown here at MSNewsSports.com, run by Kelly Media, Paul Kelly. Danny Martin is the producer, who you don't hear from, but the reason why I sound kind of decent every single week. Thanks, Danny. And thank you to MSNewsSports.com for hosting us on hosting the Merrimack Valley. See you next week, everybody.